Stocks tumble with the realization that inflation is not dead, especially in Europe. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The European Central Bank has been working to stimulate, to shake some life into economies that have been languishing, and to stamp out the possibility of damaging deflation. Yesterday, the head of the European Central Bank suggested that market players need to gird for some volatility, and that we have today. At the moment, the 100-share index in London is down about 1.3%, the DAX in Frankfurt down 1.5%, CAC 40 in Paris down about 2%. For the U.S. Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are all down, but not by as much, and the 10-year Treasury yield here is up sharply again to more than 2.36%. From the U.K., Brenda Kelly is head analyst at the London Capital Group, and she joins us live. Hello, Brenda.
Good morning. How are you?
So why the nerves, do you think, in Europe now?
Well, I think it's ultimately down to the fact that we have headed to brand new highs in some of the equity markets over the last number of months. And of course, with the prospect of rate tightening from the US, it is creating a certain amount of uncertainty and volatility. And this is despite the fact that we are seeing better growth conditions, particularly from the peripheral Eurozone states. So this, along with the bond market volatility, is really feeding its way into the equity markets. And despite the promising fundamentals, the idea that we mightn't see the easy money from the US is really, I think, spooking traders for the time being.
And there is a built-in irony here. As you say, the markets are worried about something that a person looking for a job in Europe would actually embrace, the sign that maybe there's a little bit of inflation because there maybe is some growth.
Well, there certainly is growth, and we are coming off quite a low base as well. And certainly from the peripheral point of view, it's good news. We are seeing better manufacturing and services output. But then if you look at what happened yesterday, the OECD has lowered its global growth forecast for this year based on the weakness that we've been seeing in the U.S. economy. So there's still signs there that despite the quantitative easing from the U.S., that all may not be well in the bigger picture. And this is down to, you know, manufacturing, retail sales, and of course, consumer spending as well. So employment may be heading in the right direction, but inflation is certainly not quite where it needs to be based on forecasts from some of the Fed members and, of course, ECB members as well.
Always great to talk to Brenda Kelly, who's head analyst at London Capital Group. Brenda, thank you.
Thank you, David.
President Obama says China is, quote, putting out feelers about joining in on the big trade deal that's under negotiation, liberalizing trade rules for 12 countries around the Pacific, countries that include the United States. As part of a longer interview about trade, here's what the president told my colleague, Marketplace's Kai Rizdal.
The fact is that if we have 11 of the leading economies in the Asia-Pacific region who have agreed to enforceable labor standards, enforceable environmental standards, strong IP protections, non-discrimination against foreign firms that are operating, access to those markets, reduced tariffs, then China is going to have to at least take those international norms into account.
The transcript of the entire interview with the president is at marketplace.org now. And our China correspondent, Rob Schmitz, joins us from Shanghai with some context. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So we just heard the president outline some of the agreed upon standards for this trade pact. Is China ready to play by these rules as well?
Well, I think China is probably ready to agree to play by these rules. China's government is trying to further open its economy so that growth is fueled more and more by consumers. And in order to do that, China will need to rely more on market forces, and it'll require a higher standard for the very things that are cornerstone to this Trans-Pacific partnership. So things like better labor and environmental standards and better intellectual property protection, these are things that China's trying to improve on right now. So in many ways, this agreement could give a boost to China's economic reforms in the same way that joining the WTO did 15, 20 years ago for China.
What do you think needs to happen, though, for China to actually join this agreement?
The Chinese government isn't about to allow the U.S. to dictate how it conducts trade across the Pacific. That said, being left out of a trade pact in its own backyard is also a consideration. I think it's a question of how open the Obama administration is to giving China enough time to get up to speed on the requirements of this agreement. China's got the biggest labor force in the world. It's the second largest economy. So it's going to want to play just as big a role as the U.S. in this agreement if it signs on. And because China is such a big economic force, there's an argument out there that it's in the United States' best interest to try and do what it can to include China. You know, to everyone involved, a Trans-Pacific free trade deal without China looks a little weak, especially now when China's been busy striking a bunch of big trade deals with economies throughout Asia, strengthening its economic ties with countries in Europe and South America. So China's moving on from the familiar trope of the rest of the world is trying to contain us. You know, China's engaged globally more than ever. The question is how important China thinks it is to be engaged with the U.S. and its political allies on this trade deal, too.
Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz speaking from Shanghai. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, David.
In the U.S., the House of Representatives could vote next week on streamlining the president's authority to negotiate this new trade deal. Environmentalists, labor rights activists, and people worried about U.S. sovereignty are among those very worried about a trade deal. Again, marketplace.org for more of our coverage of arguments for and against. And the satellite TV company Dish Network is reportedly in talks to merge with T-Mobile, the mobile phone company. The Wall Street Journal today says the combined company would likely be led by John Legere, T-Mobile's, what's the word for him, rambunctious, irrepressible CEO. There's no sense of purchase price yet, but such a deal is about TV-style programming streamed to mobile devices. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.